Amen, amen. And how many of you are so proud of our pastor leading at the Let Us Worship Conference for the Central Coast? Wasn't that amazing? Amen. I'd like to introduce you, Pastor Desi Ortiz.
Now you done made me all shy. She took my first note because that's what I was going to start with. Hold on, let me turn off this echo here. Oops. Mute. We have so much to be grateful. Would you stand with me? I feel a little bit off script this morning. If you're not aware of what happened, Friday in Pismo Beach, the media estimates about 1,000 people, maybe more, was there, probably a little more, came to the beach. I counted at least 10 churches on my own, all believers in God, all for one purpose, and that was to worship God. You know, of course, it was titled as a protest because, you know, we're not supposed to do that according to the governor and state, California. So that staged it as a protest, so we didn't get to do the big lights and sound setup. But we didn't need it. Man, the presence of God was there. And I thought, God, you moved so powerfully in that moment. For those 2.5 hours, whatever it was, there was people getting saved and people getting baptized and people worshiping God and without limits. I mean, they were jumping. Some people were dancing. Some people were on beat. Some people were off beat. Some people had beautiful voices and some people, they were just talking really loud, sounded like. But it didn't, none of it mattered. We had plywood for a stage. We had a big Asian rug laid out so he didn't get splinters on his patas. We had microphones that were falling over that I tried to catch but missed it, and it's full of dirt. Now he's got dirt all over his lips because of the microphone. But none of it mattered. That the power of God came, God came to visit us on that beach on Friday. Unbeknownst to me, I was not in my mind. Apparently, I was on somebody else's calendar, but I was not ready to take the mic because I was asked to do two things, and one of them was security. And that's why I had one radio strapped to my hat and another radio on my collar, and they're barking orders, and I'm trying to catch who's doing what. And then I get a tap on my shoulder. It says, okay, get ready to pray. And I said, oh, brother, I'm all prayed up. I've been praying this whole time. He says, no, get ready to go up there and pray. And I said, oh, shoot. Like my mind had to switch gears. So my dad spoke to me in that moment. You just kind of go through dad memories right in that moment. He said, short and sweet. Well, apparently it was too short. Because when I got up to say what I felt God had me to say, that I had no preparation. Again, normally I'm all slides, and you'll see them on the screen, the scriptures and all that. I prepare, right? This was cold, on the spot, just get up and go. So I went and I said it and couldn't even remember what I said. I just remember putting the microphone down and all I hear is, hey, no, come back. When I came back, the only part I really remember was this. You'll hear me preach, and if you want to verify, I always tell people, trust what somebody's telling you, but verify what they're telling you, right? I don't think you're lying. I just have to verify. So you could verify this by going back into my other messages, and you'll hear me open a message this way and say, God, use me as your vessel. Speak through me, that I would not speak of myself, but I would speak your words, right? But then I go through all my prepared notes as God prepared me. But that moment it was like God was literally speaking through me because I had not prepared this. And the next statement that came out of my mouth rang in my head all night long. And God said this, "This is just the beginning for the Central Coast." And after that, it was almost like a blur. Like I just wanted to, put the mic down, get off the stage. I wanted them to continue and do their thing because I'm so used to being here and giving and giving and giving and preaching and singing and just pushing out that it was my one moment. Even though I was doing security, it wasn't that bad. I was there right by the speaker. I was able to receive. And I wanted to get back to receiving. But it felt that I was walking off the stage. God had teed me up for more giving. And I said, "God, we already do this outside in Santa Maria. What's the difference? Is it the amount of people? Is it the beach? Is the sand holy? I mean, I know you told Moses, take off your huaraches porque the ground is holy." He says, "No." And he gave me one word. You know what that word was? I'm not going to tell you yet. You're going to have to wait. Heavenly Father, we come before you right now. Lord, we thank you for this time together. Lord, with that same amount of fire and fervor that we had on that beach, I pray that we would kindle that fire here in Santa Maria, right here, God, on Donovan, between McClellan and Broadway, God, that you would use this as your epicenter, God, that this would be ground zero for your move and your work, God. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I told you we were given a job. One of those jobs was, I received a phone call. All of this happened in 1 week. Okay, so it wasn't like we've been planning this for a month. It all happened in a week. I received a call, and they said, "This is Desi, Power God Christian Center." "Yes, it's me." A couple people on the conference call. They said, "We're going to ask Power of God to do the hospitality for the event," which means we're in charge of getting the guest speaker from the hotel to the beach in one piece. No accidents, no flat tires, making sure that they have something to eat if they're hungry, something to drink if they're thirsty. They have a jacket if they're cold, which I ended up donating one of my jackets to the band members. "If you got my jacket, I want it back." No, I'm kidding. You could have it. Because he was cold. They were coming to California. They were thinking hot, right? And they get there, it's freezing. And I could see he was cold. I went, grabbed a jacket, threw him on it. Whatever they need, that was our job, just to take care of them. Again, another reason why I was not thinking like, "Oh, let's prepare a message." But the word God gave me, I said, "God, what's the difference? We've already been doing this worship stuff outside in Santa Maria. You moved so powerfully over there. What's the difference here?" And the word he gave me was this. You ready for it? Anticipation. Anticipation. When we were getting ready for Sean to come to town, I had anticipated that we would probably need something that says, "Welcome, thank you for coming," the minute they walked into their hotel room. So I called Celia and Eileen. I said, "Sister Celia, can you and Eileen work together to make these gift baskets," which they do all the time. And we put a little card in there that says, "Thank you for coming to minister. We appreciate you." And it's got some drinks and some peanuts and some candies, just something that says thank you. And then we went and Ralph says, "I've got an RV. We'll use that as our green room." So, okay, we get the RV. Well, the RV's going to need like some snacks and some, and Sister Sally said, "Well, maybe some flowers. It'll look nice." And I mean, they went all out. Kathleen showed up with bedding and they made the bed, and, you know, a caterer showed up with just food for 20 people and laid it out. I mean, it was a spread. All of this is that in anticipation that, well, our guest, Sean's coming with his group and we want to make sure they're taken care of. We got two-way radios. Check, check, rubber duck, Charlie, over there, grab this from the car. I said, in anticipation of what was going to happen that day, I said, I can't do this by myself. So I put the call out. And I said, "Just so you know the level that I'm in, I took the day off work to make this happen because I have high anticipation for what God's going to do." Now, a lot of people said, "I can't go because I'm working." But two people took the day off work with me. They said, I'll match you. I love matchers. And then Michael showed up early that morning. We went out. We reserved parking spots in case my wife, my mom needed parking when they got there. Make sure that's anticipation that they're coming too. Everything was about this word of anticipation. Billy shows up, rents the best suite in the house at the hotel next door. I'm like, ah. He's got two views. Little William's doing circles in the jacuzzi. The stage had been set. And it was all based on anticipation. Our foundation scripture is Romans 8, verse 18. And it says this. Yet what we suffer now. How many know we've gone through a little bit of suffering through this pandemic? I mean, man, woman, and child across the globe have been affected by this one virus. Shutting down schools, shutting down the economy, trying to shut down churches, trying. But he says, yet we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory he will give us later. Whatever your suffering is right now, there's a multiple of glory coming later. See, I'm waiting for that fire to start. I'm going to try throwing some holy bombs out there. I said, whatever the suffering is now, there's a glory coming from God that's stored up for later. But watch this. For those who anticipate it, you don't get to have it just because somebody else got it. You don't get to have it with a negative attitude. You don't get to have it still waiting for the worst to happen. What I want you to do is get your anticipation onto the glory of God that is coming. Yeah. Verse 19 says, for all creation is waiting patiently and hopefully for that future day when God will resurrect his children. The title of this message is anticipation. And if you can't see the logo, I want you to go home and watch it back on Facebook and study it. I probably won't get to the definition of this logo until the end. Anticipation. Somebody say anticipation. It is something you do. It is not something you're waiting for. And we have got the meaning twisted. That waiting is waiting with anticipation. But anticipation is actually working towards an event that you know is coming. I could have anticipated that our guest was coming all night long. But if I had not got up to do the work and make the phone calls and get there in the morning and drive to the hotel and get them Starbucks and get them to the event center, none of that would have happened. Because I would have just been standing there waiting. But anticipation says, I know this is coming. What I got to do to get ready? I better start setting up. Because I'm anticipating that tonight on that beach in Pismo, souls were about to get saved. You ask my wife, in anticipation, I packed shorts. I said, I'm not on the baptism team. But if they need me in anticipation that people are going to get baptized in that freezing cold water, I may have to go stand in the drink. And I was almost off the hook. Until Marlene showed up. And she didn't have to say no words. Because she was speaking with a look of anticipation. And she says, I'm ready to do this. And I said, praise the Lord, there's a brother right there in the water. Just go. And then you hear Billy. Y'all know Billy. Rawr. You know she's not going to get baptized by anybody but you. I heard what he said, but I was already processing. And I don't know how it looked, but I'm like, babe, hold this, little radio, check, and I'm running. And Billy says, you forgot Marlene. I said, no, I didn't forget. I got to get in the water, got to get amped up. It's cold. I said, Marlene, have you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? She said, yes, I have. I said, have you received the Holy Spirit to come and dwell in you? She said, yes, I have. I said, well, when the right wave comes, just sit down and we're going to dunk you. Here it comes. And she sat and says, I'm sorry, I lost you. I'm going to admit, I lost you because the wave. And So I just tried to get you back up as good as that. It wasn't a perfect dunking, but it was a dunking nonetheless. All of this for what? So that I can get my time on Facebook? So that God can give me an attaboy? All of this because a young woman came to God and said, I'm ready to lay the old life down and come out of this water new. If I had not anticipated and I had worn my Timberland boots and my nice jeans and my good jacket, and I ain't getting in that water. Oh, I see. You didn't anticipate this happening. In other words, you were not ready for this moment right here. And church, I'm telling you, we just read it. The glory of God is coming, and I'm trying to wake you up and say, get ready. Don't miss the next move of God because it's coming if you anticipate it. Anticipation is actively seeking God until you are wiped out. God, where are you? Have you ever cried out to God so hard that you just finished your cry and then wondered, did you even hear me? It's in the Psalm 69, verse 3, says this. I am weary from my crying. My throat is parched. That was prophetic because my throat is parched. My throat is parched. My eyes fail looking for my God. God, where are you? Good for you. That's a great question. Because a lot of people in today's world say, if I don't see God, then I'm going to go do this until he shows up. And this is usually something to do with sin, addiction, a certain beverage, a certain thing that you smoke, violence. I'm going to go and get my way however I got to get it. If I got to steal it, I'll steal it. If I got to take it, I'll take it. You see these clips online now. Some young kid just walks up and socks a grandma in the face. Because I don't see God. I don't anticipate God doing anything. So I'm just going to go do it my way. Let me tell you, there's justice coming as well. Anticipate it. Be on the right side of that justice. Be on the correct side of that justice. Troubles come. Look what James says. Dear brothers, is your life full of difficulties and temptations? Anybody got some difficulties right now? Anybody some temptations? No? This is a holy church. We need to get some sinners in here that need to hear this stuff then. Is your life full of difficulties and temptations? Watch. Then be happy. Are you kidding me? Be happy for my trials. Be happy for my temptations. I've got problems. When problems go away, I get happy. When problems come, I get sad. This scripture is the opposite. Why? For when the way is rough, your patience has a chance to grow. If you have troubles, you're growing in patience. If you're working towards a closer relationship with God and things are getting harder, the anticipation you should have is that I'm about to get breakthrough. Watch this. So let it grow. Let that patience grow. And don't try to squirm out of your problems. Everybody wants the easy way out. My team tells me all the time, but Pastor or Desi, I'm not offended by either one, it would be easier, right, if we just bought Easter baskets that are on sale and just put those in their hotel room as gift baskets. That would be easier. I said, yeah, but that's not how we do it. There's an easy way to do something, and then there's just the right way to do something. You can tell your kid to stick toothpaste in his mouth and just swish it around, spit it out, and call him good, but that's not the right way for oral hygiene. The kid needs to get a brush in there and start scrubbing all that, whatever he's been eating out. Because there's an easy way to do it and something that's fast, but then there's the right way to do it. And the Bible's telling us that if you're going through troubles, be happy. Your breakthrough is coming because patience is growing. And when you grow in patience, God is at work. We are an impatient generation. I remember, give away my age. Woo. I remember when the microwave first came in the house. Anybody, right? Tell the truth. You can't lie in church. I remember when the microwave first came in. I was like, what is this? Instant pizza? 2 minutes? Ding. This is when we had a dial. Ding, 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 ding. You go out and the stuff is steaming instantly. What did I lose? Patience. Because now I was no longer willing to wait for the oven to heat up and to unbox it and foil the crust and stick it. All that required too much patience. Now I just take the box, put it, bing, take it out. I'm done. That car wash didn't used to exist. Car wash was a Saturday morning with a bucket and a water hose. And you go out there and you wash your car and you scrub it down, you vacuum it. Now, I have a sticker for that place right there. You just drive through, 5 minutes, boom, I'm done. Because I've lost patience. But patience, don't try to squirm out of your problems. For when your patience is finally in full bloom, then you will be ready for anything. Strong in character, full and complete. When you have company coming over your house, do you anticipate them coming and possibly using the restroom? So what do? Start cleaning. Get the mirror clean. Get the toilet clean. Make the tubs clean. Why do you got to clean the tub? They might look past the curtain. You make sure it's all clean. Vacuum the corners. Make sure all your medicine's out of the cabinet because some of your guests are nosy. All of this in anticipation. But you don't wait till they show up. Say, hey, come on in. What are we going to eat? I don't know. I'd never anticipated you coming. But I called you and I told you, yeah, but I wasn't sure. Because you flake out all the time. Let me tell you something. Jesus is coming back. And he is faithful. You can take that to the bank. And you can know that God is moving. And you can know in anticipation, he wants to use you. I've said this before, but it's been a while. The dictionary is something that most people use to define words. If you want to know what a word means, you go to the dictionary and you look it up. Anybody with me? But I say this, a dictionary does not define words. You with me? I say that a dictionary is just a history book telling me how a word has been used in the past. Because I can have multiple meanings of one word. I could look out here right now and say, this is cool. This is cool. This is cool. But what do I mean? Do I mean that this is a cool setup? What we're doing is cool? Or do I mean that the air temperature is cool? Same spelling, same word. How am I using it? You go to the dictionary, and it says this is how it's been used in the past, to describe the temperature or to describe that you really like something. It's cool. Am I allowed to wear my glasses when I preach? Yeah. This is bright out here. Watch this. Anticipation is a word that has lost its influence over the years because we've taken the word anticipation and waiting to mean the same thing. There's two different words. Let me show it to you. I went to the freedictionary.com, anticipate, and I looked up the meaning of anticipation. It says this. This is theirs. This is not even my teaching. This is copy and paste. Traditionally, the verb anticipate has been used to mean, watch, to deal with in advance, to forestall. As in, great example, we anticipated the storm by boarding up the windows, which was accepted by 70% of the usage panel in 2014, and therein makes my point. The usage panel is a group of people that get to decide how a word is defined before it goes in the dictionary. It's just people like you and me. And it says, yes, that anticipate means not just waiting, not sitting. You're waiting for this message to be over before you go and get in your car. But it's not waiting. Anticipating says, there's a storm coming. I better go to the store, Home Depot, buy some plywood, put it on the windows because I anticipate the storm. There's something that I have to do if I truly anticipate. There's something I have to do to get ready for what's coming. There's a move of God coming to the Central Coast. And I'm trying to get you, church, to anticipate its coming. And I'm trying to get you, church, ready and filled with the Word of God so that when the next person comes that needs to be baptized, I could say, here's one, take them, go get them baptized. There's one, they will pray the prayer of salvation with you. There's another, they will pray with you for deliverance over that addiction. I'm trying to get you to anticipate that there's a move of God coming and there's something that you have to do other than just sitting there waiting for it to happen. Look at this. The dictionary has now changed. Today it means something to look forward to. You see how the meaning of the word anticipation before was, I got to get ready. I got to board up the windows. I got to clean the house. Whatever I'm anticipating, I'm getting ready for. And now the panel, the new panel, the 2020 panel says, oh, it's anticipation. That's just something you look forward to. I look forward to having lunch after church. I just look forward to that. Anticipation was the difference that made, anticipation is what made the difference on that beach in Pismo. Is that everyone came expecting God to do something. We had the privilege of being on the team that made that event happen. I wish you could have experienced the blessing, the privilege of being able to serve. I wish you had the guts to take the day off and see what God could have done through you. I wish you could have heard the test. This is not on script. The testimony that they gave. What did you tell me? I told this guy, I know this is, sorry broadcast, this is not on script. This guy not only served, took the day off, and his family took the day off. And I said, thank you for, he bought lunch at McDonald's and Michael bought me breakfast at Mayor's Place. And I just couldn't thank him enough. I said, thank you for everything that you did. And you know, when I got all wet from from baptizing Marlene, come to the room, come change your clothes. I said, man, I don't want to get sand all over your back. No, that's what it's for, in anticipation. And I said, thanks 100 times over. And what did you say you would do?
I'd do it again and again and again. If just one person got saved that day, I'd do it again. That's all it would take, just one. It'd be worth it all.
The anticipation paid off when Michael sent me the next text. You remember? I don't have it in front of me. I didn't prepare this. He sent me a text. Correct me if I'm wrong. It was an honor to serve. Am I good so far? I felt freedom. Just standing there in God's presence, even though I was on security team. Am I right? But it took us getting up at 8 a.m. to drive down there. It took us going to Walmart and McDonald's and Starbucks and buying drinks and moving a bunch of stuff, because all of that was part of the anticipation of what was about to happen. When you anticipate the move of God, you don't take waiting as good enough. He said, no, give me a job to put me to work. There was not a word to describe it, but I've been where you were, where most of you were. I've been on the receiving end in the crowd. I've been there plenty of times. You don't always have the opportunity to serve. That's the word. That's the operative word, the opportunity to serve. Sometimes I just go to receive. They didn't ask me to serve. The other events, they didn't ask me to speak. They didn't ask me to pray. We go to National Day of Prayer in Santa Maria. They don't ask me to get on stage and play keyboard. They don't ask me to come pray. I just come and I get to receive. There's a time to receive. But watch this. There's coming time to serve. If you anticipate it and get yourself ready. But if you already made up in your mind that I'm to this or I'm to that, or I'm not enough of this, or I'm not enough of that, you're staring at your problems and you're trying to wiggle out of them. When we just read, do not wiggle out of your problems, because patience is at work. Instead, start anticipating a move of God and get ready. So I want to get on the same page. When I say anticipate, I don't mean, oh, I'm waiting for something nice to happen. No, anticipate. Get to work. This production team and the ushers and Julian, usherettes, all anticipate this happening every Sunday and Wednesday. So they get here 2 hours ahead of time to get cameras and sound and easy ups and chairs and waters and mints and communion all set up in anticipation for what God's going to do. I remember anticipating going to Game 7 of the World Series when the Dodgers were playing the cheating Houston Astros. I've said it. Because it was proven they had an investigation. With great anticipation that this is our year. Going home sorely disappointed. We sat there the whole game like this. Because the Astros had scored and the Dodgers were not. That somehow the performance of the Dodgers affected my anticipation. Kind of stinks. Paid a lot of money for this ticket. Drove through traffic to get here. Bought a hotel. Stay overnight. Kind of stinks. Wish I hadn't spent all that money, because they're going to lose. And God says this. Tell my people, don't ever come to church with that attitude. Waiting for the band to perform the right song or the preacher to give the right word. Or you get up and you dance and you scream and you shout and you praise and you raise your hands regardless of what's going on around you. Because it's not based on what the band does or what the preacher preaches. It's based on a man who hung on a cross 2,000 years ago and he spilled all of his blood so that you can be saved. But the church sits here without anticipation, waiting for the right thing to be said that gets me excited. If you're not excited already because of what Jesus did, there's nothing else that can be done. You have all the tools that you need to be on fire for God. But you keep waiting for a fire as if somebody's going to give it to you. No. Fire comes to a barbecue pit because you anticipated that you're going to have to cook some meat. So you went and got the propane burner and you got the wood, or you got some kindling and you got a lighter, but you started that fire really small. You created it out of something that has ignition. Church, where's your ignition point? If a pandemic didn't do it, what will? If shutting down the economy in this country didn't do it, what are you waiting for? What is the sign that you're waiting for to surrender your heart to God? What is the next tragedy that has to happen before you finally surrender? Where is your anticipation for what God's about to do in this city? It is not waiting. It's getting to work. Saying we're about to serve some people by offering them showers. I stand in anticipation. What do you need me to do? I'm about to come on a Sunday morning or a Wednesday night. I'm going to give my best, my highest, my best praise. Forget about the bad day at work. God gave you that job. I'm grateful to have it. When so many people are out of work, God, I still have a place to go. That you're my provider. It's enough to make me get on my knees and cry out, thank you, God. But the band didn't play the right song for me. It didn't move me. Because your anticipation is on men and not on God. Wide receiver, I got to use all my sports analogies before we forget them, because there's no sports right now. I never played organized football like in city league or anything like that. We just played street ball, tackle football in the park. And I remember whoever was quarterback, if I was quarterback or I was wide receiver, you guys remember this? Ladies, I don't know if you connect with this. Go 10 paces straight, cut 45 degree angle to the right, then cut to the end zone. I'm gonna hit you. You remember the plays? We draw them on our hand like that, as if we had a grease pen. Or just go out 5 paces, cut hard left to the sideline. I'm going to hit you. As soon as you grab it, just go. You remember that? In anticipation, I would run the route. By the time I took all my paces, I would count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 10. Cut, look, and there's the ball. I had to run to where I knew or anticipated the ball was going to be. If he said hike and I just stood there waiting, it's a fumble or an incomplete pass every single time. And the church has been sitting down waiting when God has said take 10 steps forward and then cut across and then head for the end zone and I'm going to hit you. Oh God, my neck. Maybe next week. God says, I want you to put your shoes on and get out of your house and get in your car and drive to church and sit there and hear the sermon. Yes, Lord. Yes. In 2021, that will be my New Year's resolution. I'm just too comfortable. I'm waiting on God. Moses taught the principle of anticipation. Exodus chapter 12 says this. Here is how you must eat. Here's how you must eat it. That's from the previous verse. Watch. You must be dressed for travel. Your sandals on your feet and your staff in your hand. You are to eat in a hurry. It is the Lord's Passover. Why is he putting this anticipation on them? He says, God brought us here to Egypt when he put Joseph in control and we came into the land of Goshen. But we've been here for 400 years and you've been crying out for a deliverer. As a matter of fact, you have been waiting for 400 years of slavery to be over and for God to deliver you. And Moses comes on the scene and says, stop waiting and get into anticipation. Get your staff ready. Get your shoes on your feet. Pack up your house. Get ready to get out of this place. We're leaving. God is finally going to deliver his promise and get us out of this slavery. Be in anticipation for it to happen. So they did. God delivered them. Jesus taught the disciples, watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. Sorry, Natalia, I jumped you on that one. Watch and pray that you may not enter in temptation. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. Jesus says, watch and pray. Watch and pray. You all know the story. What did they do? Church, wake up. Jesus is coming. There's a move of God about to hit the Central Coast. I want you to be ready. I want you to be in anticipation for it to happen. Anticipation. Are you in anticipation mode? Or are you in contemplation mode? Anticipation gets to work. They go get ready. God's moving and God's doing. God's going to do something in my life. I'm ready. Put my hands to work. I'm ready to get. Contemplation says, well, let me think about this. And God says, what is there to think about? My thoughts are way higher than your thoughts. And if you're trying to figure me out, there's no chance you're going to figure God out. Anticipation is obedience. It's faith in action. When we went to the Let Us Worship event on Pismo Beach, we anticipated that people would get saved, and it happened. We anticipated that people would get baptized, and it happened. We anticipated that churches would show up under one umbrella and give worship unto God as the body of Christ, and it happened. The difference that I started with, I said, God, we do it outside all the time. What was the difference between your move over there and your move right here in this parking lot? What was it? You went there expecting something totally different. Here's what I want you to do. Take that same anticipation, whether you're coming to this church or whether you're going to a conference, or whether you're going to a Bible study, or whether you're going to be doing showers, or whether you're going to be doing outreach ministry, take that same anticipation that God is about to move through me in this event. Women, you're about to do a woman's fellowship worship event. Where are you on the anticipation meter? We went from 10 hand claps to one hand clap. I know. I'm trying to encourage. This dumb virus sucked the life out of the church. It doesn't negate what Jesus did at the cross. God's still on the throne. I'm trying to give you an adrenaline shot of the Holy Ghost to say, wake up. If you give me permission, I'll slap you. Wake up. In anticipation. Don't waste your money on a woman's conference if you're just going to go with no anticipation. At least put it in the bank and gain interest. As a matter of fact, I've had worship events in people's houses. This was the mandate. Do not come without anticipation. I will not let you in. Here's how I enforced it. We start at 7. At 7:01, you are late, and I put a sign on the door that says, do not enter. I lock it, and I said, everybody who had anticipation is already here. Oh, but I got a flat tire. Then you should have left 2 hours early. Or you should have called. Or you should have texted. But I need to be in a room with people full of anticipation. Because that's where you get ignition. That's where fire starts. And do you know how fire expands? It's just one piece of wood touching another piece of wood. You ever notice when you have a barbecue, you don't have to light each piece of wood on fire. Once the fire started, you want more fire? You add more wood. This church is on fire. You're the wood. I'm trying to get you connected so that we're touching. One piece of wood that is on fire does not ignite the other piece of wood that is 10 feet away. I have fire. I have wood, fire burning in my barbecue pit. And I have a stack of wood 2 feet away outside the pit. Not once, not ever, has my stack of wood outside the pit caught fire from the fire that was in the barbecue pit. No, but every single time I went and took a wood from the stack and I put it inside the pit, it connected. And the minute it connected, it ignited. There's Christians who are in the pit and they're serving and they're working and they have this anticipation, and then there's Christians on the side. And I want these Christians on the side to catch fire. So I'm saying, come on and get connected. Because once you connect, the fire begins. I am so far out of time. True anticipation. This is where we get down to our logo. True anticipation is asking God for direction. God, which way do I need to go? Just like the wide receiver, what route am I supposed to run? Because when that ball drops out of the air, I want to be there to catch it. True anticipation asks God, where do I need to be and what do you need me to do? Anticipation is putting your faith to work. What time is it? 11:14? Is it 11:14? Can I make 3 points? I know it's 11:14. We're normally done by now. 3 more points. You ready? The Roman soldier, the centurion, went to Jesus because his servant was sick. But he went to Jesus with anticipation. He says, my servant is sick and my servant does not deserve to die. My servant helped build the synagogue. In effect, what he's saying is my servant works at this church. My servant helped build this church. My servant is directing the broadcast. My servant's behind the camera. My servant is up in the sound booth. My servant is an usher watching security. My servant is sick and he does not deserve to die. He's a good man. And a centurion, a Roman, comes to a Jewish Jesus with anticipation. And he says, you don't even have to come to my house. I'm so expecting this thing. You just say the word and I know my servant will be healed. Come on, there's a woman with an issue of blood. Her bleeding, her cycle could not stop for 12 years. For 12 years. She had gone to doctors with anticipation, but every doctor had failed her. Now she's out of money. She has no more insurance. She has no money to pay the doctors. She's running out of hope. The doctors have looked in your eyes and they said disease, or they said cancer, or they say virus. But let me tell you what the Word of God says. God says that he healed your body when he allowed his body to be broken on the cross. I want you to shift to anticipation that healing is coming your way. Just like that woman who was out of strength and she was out of money, but she pressed through a crowd of people who were trying to get to Jesus, and she said with anticipation, if I could just touch him. If I could just touch his clothes. She did it and she was healed. But she had anticipation. She didn't sit there and watch Jesus walk by like it was a parade. She says, I gotta get to that man because my life depends on it. Blind Bartimaeus, he wants to see. And he hears the crowd roaring and he says, who is it? And they said, it's Jesus from Nazareth. With anticipation, blind Bartimaeus cries out, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And the crowd came and said, shut up. He's busy. Good old blind Bartimaeus. He must have been deaf too because he didn't hear him say it. Because the more that they told him to shut up, he said, no, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus comes up and asks him something that just blows my mind. Because it's a rhetorical. Jesus asks and God asks rhetorical questions. When God asks you a question, it's not because he doesn't know the answer. He knows everything. When God asks you a question, it's because there's something you don't know. And he wants it to come out of your mouth so you can realize it. So Jesus goes to blind Bartimaeus, the blind man, and says, you called? Yes, sir, I called. He says, what do you want? Forget it. No. He had anticipation. He didn't ask for his kink in his neck to be healed because he slept wrong. He didn't ask for money so he could have food for the next day. He asked for something that was impossible. And he says, Jesus, I want to see. I want to see. Isn't it obvious that I just want to see? There's so many Christians that feel like you have spiritual blinders on and you're calling out to God saying, God, I just want to see. Help me see this move that's coming. Help me see how I could be used because I feel so dirty and messed up. How could you possibly, God, I just want to see how it's possible that you can use somebody like me. And God says, it's not only possible, but I designed a purpose just for you. Blind Bartimaeus received his sight because he screamed as loud as he could with anticipation. He knew that Jesus could do it. Will you walk away from that seat that you're in right now with anticipation that God is about to move?